morning. Welcome to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. We've got a great show for you today, as we do each day. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Thank you for this great opportunity to come together on the radio airwaves to talk about your love. Help us to remember, Father, how much you love each one of us, especially when we look at the suffering and the difficulties in our lives. Sometimes we forget that this is all brought about because of your love. You love us. You can always bring good out of any suffering that we face. Give us the strength that we need to make it through the day. Help us to be a light shining in the darkness. Help us to be your messengers today. Whoever we meet, may we show your love with them. We ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to help us with any problems that we're facing today. We ask you to heal anyone who is sick, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is anxious. We ask you, Father, to protect and bless those who are homeless, also those who are homebound. We ask you to let them feel your peace this day. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, it's another episode of Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimek, and it's a pleasure to be with you. It really is. It's great to be able to hang out with you every morning here on Holy Spirit Radio. Coming up on today's show, Bobby Schindler will be here. He is the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Foundation. I'm sorry, Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. He's going to be sharing some stories about the work that he's doing to support life. In addition, author Art Bennett will be here. He recently wrote a book along with his wife, Lorraine. The book's called Tuned In, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening. From our Sunday visitor, we're going to be talking about how important it is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening, Mr. Parker?
I'm listening.
Very good.
Attentively, yes.
Look who's back. Frank Elias, and look who's back with
Hi,
us
Frank.
Today.
Hi, Frank. Hello. We're all here. Three of us are together.
Exactly. I missed you guys yesterday, but I had some things to do family-wise.
Well, so. We missed you, too.
Yeah, but I listened.
You always do.
I listened, yes. And, okay, thank you. But I was going to say, you know, what a great welcome. I was listening attentively, and I was thinking, well, I was trying to think of something quippy to say, like tuned in and hit pause. We can't do that on air, can we? Or maybe I can, and you guys can just take over.
That was very quippy, Dave.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm getting
back into the groove, guys.
we should
try.
But it's a great topic because
it is a great topic.
You know, it's true in every aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. People be like, it's you. If you don't listen. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, all of us do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's a topic I've written about in my book. You know, my book was a business book, but, mm-hmm. you know, in business, we don't listen to the other people. We don't listen to where, you know, our own employees and what they're telling us. We hear what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just true in business. It's true in our personal lives. I see it every day on
Amen,
Facebook.
Amen, brother. Yes.
And and the other piece to it is, it is also true in our faith lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Wow. Yes.
Frank and Dave, listen to this quote from the book. Instead of offering an opinion or advice, we need to be sure that we have heard everything the other person has to say. Often the other spouse does not need a solution to his or her problems, but simply to be heard or to feel that someone has acknowledged their pain, their disappointment, their fear, their anger, their hopes, and their dreams. Mm-hmm. You know who said that? Pope Francis.
Wow.
What a great message.
But
right?
It's his spouse. Like, that's, to me, is actually, we do it with our spouses
all
the
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
You know, we're around them. You know, they're saying things. We act like we hear them.
Mm-hmm. We go through the motions.
We go through the motions.
Yeah.
But do we really, truly hear what's in their heart? And the other piece to it is, oftentimes we hear words that are being said, but not the deeper understanding of what is being said.
There's hearing, and then there's listening.
That is correct.
You know, the function of the ears is to hear. You know, but we have to listen to what we hear through those ears, I'm guilty many times of not. I'm very loquacious. I was born that
Wait,
way.
You?
Yeah.
No.
I know. So, but Gary, I had my struggle.
I'm still trying to figure out what loquacious means.
It means wordy.
I know.
Wow. But there's a reason.
Wordy time to the nth degree.
There's a famous quote. There's a reason why we have two ears and one mouth.
Wow.
And,
and so, you know, step
you
back
go,
sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, hear what is being said. And I think this also, you know, this happens because, you know, what happens is in faith, let's use faith as an example. When someone starts, like, you know, saying, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that about, you know, whatever, about our beliefs or whatever it may be, we're not always hearing what they're really saying or what's really in their heart. And you're never going to win if you become this, like, where it's like a back and forth. It's just not going to work. Now, if you actually start to understand what is that deeper meaning of what they're talking about, and you start to also apply it within your own life, now it becomes where we can actually be one and we can actually win them over.
Wow. What a concept, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great topic, and I'm excited to talk about it today.
All kidding aside. And I was going to say, for, I mean, Eileen, Carolyn, Barbara, if you're listening, you know, I'm going to try better. That's to Barbara.
I was about to say, you can listen to Carolyn all
but
you want.
But you got you. Oh, here comes the text.
This is where I'm going to let you guys take over. I'm just going to back away from the microphone.
Are you going to hit pause?
And say hello to my lovely wife, Eileen, who is a faithful listener, and let you guys go on that limb.
All right.
But
I couldn't.
Don't worry, Eileen. We're going to let Dave listen to you.
But it is a great topic, and I think I'm so glad Art can come on the show to talk about that.
Absolutely.
Let's see what else we have. Time for the weather. Let's look at the weather. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 48 degrees, overcast skies. Today, isolated showers between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. Then we'll have gradual clearing, a high near 58. Tonight, clear with a low around 36. Friday, sunny with a high near 50. Uh-oh, Frank's laughing. Let me finish the weather, because I know this is going to be good.
I think it's going to pour in here pretty
soon. At the moment, in Buckingham, it's 45. In Lansdale, it's 46. And in Mount Laurel, it's 48 degrees. Frank Eliason just got a text, so this should be interesting.
So my wife wrote and said, wait, you know you don't listen?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Cat's out of the bag. Oops. Anyways, we can all take a lesson from this first guest whom we haven't even heard yet.
We haven't even brought on yet. We're already in trouble.
We're doing his shtick. Come on. maybe he's listening. Hey, thanks,
Art. That's a good point.
But one of the ways, like, within faith is, like, you know, how often do we really listen to the gospel? How often do we really listen to what it's saying? You know, we hear the words, but we don't put it all in context and really start to deeply understand it. So did I give you a perfect segue or what?
You did, but Frank, that's so true because, you know, we read it on the show every day, but also at Mass on Sunday. The gospel tends to, and I did this for years, I still sometimes do it. It goes one in one ear and out the other, or if we do listen, we listen with, we have a preconceived idea of what Jesus is saying and make his words apply to our
idea. Step back and say, oh, I'll wait for the homily, so then I'll get whatever. It's like, no, we have to be the ones listening to this because, you know, not only, you know, one of my favorite things, and I want to do this someday, is where I have a show where I have multiple homilies because, you know, there's different, you hear different pieces. And so if we actually paid attention ourselves fully to that reading, we could actually kind of come up with some interpretations and some things out of it that are important to our lives. Then add to that, instead of, like, you know, competing with it, add to it the homily and the priest's view of that.
That's pretty good.
And real quickly, it reminded me, I mean, adoration. When we go into adoration, we should just hit pause and be in receiving and listening mode, not just hearing.
And that's difficult. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's hard to be quiet sometimes, right? Because we're so busy talking. Let's do the gospel. Let's listen to now. Here's the perfect segue.
There was a softball, but neither Frank nor I swung at it.
let's listen to today's gospel. It's from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 25. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, "The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, 'Look, here it is, there it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, look, there he is, or look, here he is. Do not go off, do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation. Now, the one thing, guys, that hit me as I was reading this, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come. They're asking Jesus when the kingdom of God will come. Do you think the Pharisees were really listening to his answer? They never were. They always wanted to just trip him up.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? And
that was their goal.
They were trying to set
that's
him up.
That's a great
up.
Observation.
I mean, that's the one thing that hit me.
Yes.
And the other thing is Jesus is talking about there are going to be a lot of people trying to lead us away from the truth. He is the truth. He has the message for us. Some of his words are very painful. I get to read them every day on the show, and I wish his words were a little bit softer sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because the message I have to give when I read the gospel from Daily Mass is not always a popular one.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't need soft.
But we want soft.
We need some harsh or some more not so soft. At times.
Right.
I do.
But we want to hear our own version of Jesus. We want to hear what we want to hear. Honestly,
I think
we
that's
do.
The best piece there. We want to hear our own version of Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's such a temptation, but it's not real.
But then the other piece to it is there's another line in there that catches me is the kingdom of God is there.
Is here. Is here, yeah.
And do we often realize that, or do we even see it? Do we see it in others? Do we see it around us? You know, and that's the thing about that really strikes me. Because, you know, there's been a lot of bad things that have gone on in the world and stuff like that. And I hear, you know, people say, oh, it's because we're, you know, not in faith and we're not in this. Look around you. The kingdom of God is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that struck me, I know we're going to go to break soon, is like, we'll know it. I mean, in a flash, we'll know that Jesus is when he's really coming to, you know, separate us, you know, the sheep from the goats or whatever you want to, wheat from the chaff.
We should be prepared any day.
That's the key.
Exactly.
And we're going to hear so much more about that as the church year comes to a close in the next few weeks. We're going to keep hearing that message. One day, our lives are going to come to an end.
Absolutely.
Are we ready? Today,
yes.
I mean,
great message.
Let's
folks.
Bring it up, Gary. Let's make everybody happy. Today could be that day when our lives come to an end. But don't panic, because the Lord wants us to do something.
Enjoy the break and the first song. Okay?
Bobby Schindler, when we come back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 16th. Today we celebrate St. Margaret of Scotland. A daughter of the Anglo-Saxon prince, Margaret first met her future husband when her family was shipwrecked off the coast of Scotland. For the most part, Margaret and King Malcolm, who married in 1070 when she was about 20, were happy together. Malcolm was good-hearted, but rough and uncultured, as was Scotland itself. As a wife, she was able to soften the king's temper, polish his manners, and help him become a virtuous ruler. She also influenced her adopted country, promoting the arts and education. Together, the royal couple founded several churches. Margaret took religious reform seriously, working to correct abuses among priests and laity. As a mother, she personally supervised the religious instruction of her 6 sons and 2 daughters. The queen's private life was austere. She ate sparingly and slept little in order to have more time for devotions. On the way home from Mass, Margaret would wash the feet of 6 poor persons and give them alms. In public, she was always surrounded by beggars, and she never refused them. Margaret died in 1093, 4 days after her beloved husband was killed in battle. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
If grace was a kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I've made. Oh, but I heard a whisper as heaven bent down, said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown? It's always the ones with the scars that you use. Oh, it's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. And now I'm just a beggar.
Welcome.
Gates open wide. There's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. I was so exciting. I was so excited to get on with the show. I interrupted Matthew West. The name of that song is Broken Things. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for starting your day off with us. The time right now is 7:18. Well, every Thursday, the first interview segment is devoted to various pro-life apostolates. Today, we are joined, as we are each month, by our friend Bobby Schindler, who is the president of the Terri Schiavo Life and Hope Network. You can find more information about their work at lifeandhope.com. Hey, Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks for joining us again on the show, my friend.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bobby, you do a lot of work to support the medically vulnerable. In case anybody might not be familiar with your work, what you do, talk a little bit about what you do at the Terri Schiavo Life and Hope Network.
Well, Gary, it was really in response to my sister's death. Right. Our family at that time was reaching out, looking for help from different organizations to see if they could help us defend and protect my sister's life. And there was really no organization out there that we found that was really equipped to handle what we were going through at the time. And our family had no idea what we were up against during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the forces we were battling. So after Terry's death, we wanted to establish a nonprofit to be that organization that really wasn't there when our family was fighting what we were fighting, and that was trying to kill my sister, Terri. So.
Wow.
We have amassed resources, mostly physicians and attorneys, and we have families now that call us, depending on what type of help they need. Most times, the denial of care, or parents, or families, or those who are advocating for loved ones are trying to ask for certain treatment, and they're being told no. So we assess the situation, and then we look at our resources, and we see what we can do and try and help them get the care that they're trying to get for their loved ones. So we're basically advocates for patients and families, Gary, is what we try and do on a day-to-day basis.
Bobby, it's interesting. You said you had no idea what you were up against. Now, you are a full-time pro-life advocate, correct?
That's right, Gary, yes.
There are really that many cases out there, aren't there?
Well, there is. And you know, people don't know or don't realize, and of course, why would they? But our healthcare is taking some changes over the past few decades, and more people are at risk, especially the medically vulnerable, those that aren't able to speak for themselves, those that the hospitals and administrators feel that their resources can't care for these people properly because it's a money thing. So we try to be patients' advocates and get the care these people deserve and the compassion that the families are trying to give to these individuals.
How often do you hear the quality of life argument?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what drives the issue, Gary. It's always a quality of life. And then, you know, define quality of life.
Exactly.
It's a dangerous term, and we've seen how dangerous it can be.
I've shared this before. My mother is suffering from advanced Alzheimer's disease. She is in a nursing home, and she has been on a feeding tube for probably about 10 years now because she simply forgot how to eat. I've had people tell me, well, you're not being fair to her. To do this to her. But you know what, Bobby? I mean, that's not my call. She's my mom. She's alive. That's God's call. But I've had people tell that to me. And they're not doing it to be mean, but they're doing it out of this, I don't know, this sense of compassion, thinking that she has no quality of life. But really, that's not my call to make. That's God's call.
Right, and it's a tactic they use. They'll use guilt. They'll use all kind of ways to try and pressure families into doing what families aren't sure whether it's right or wrong or morally illicit, so on and so forth. It's really unfortunate, Gary, because families really aren't equipped to understand it.
Right.
You know, I like to think that the doctors out there, physicians, are still following an ethic that they need to follow, and I think most of the times doctors are doing things that are morally ethical. The problem we have is these administrators, Gary. They're the ones that are driving these decisions many times, and they look at this as a cost benefit type of determination.
Wow.
And if they deem that a patient's costing them too much money, and it's cheaper to deny them care, they're going to instruct the hospital to do so. And that's many times what we're up against.
You know, as I listen to your words, I get chills. That's a very frightening proposition that this is driven by money. And you know, I'm also glad you talked about the fact that your sister was killed. She was murdered, right? I mean, it's difficult to hear, and I'm sure that's difficult for you to say, but that's what happened.
Well, if you look,
right, I mean,
if you look what happened, it's hard to think otherwise. I mean, and going back to the quality of life, I mean, they were pushing that hard.
The
whole quality of life. When it comes to my sister's condition, it was terrible. I mean, they made us look like we were the ones that were forcing this. We were doing something that my sister wouldn't want, she was going to die. The term that got me all the time, Gary, is, you know, we wanted her to die with death with dignity. When they were going to starve and dehydrate her death, which was anything but a dignified death. And But it's just language. It's a verbal war, and a lot of people are buying into it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. So Bobby, you know, we don't want to bring people down. We want them to realize what we're facing out there in the world. So what does a family do when they hear this? When they hear people coming at them talking about death with dignity, quality of life? It's and then you have the administrators saying we need to put an end to this because it's hopeless. You hear all these projections. What does a family do who is in that situation?
Well, I think ultimately, Gary, we need heroic advocates, people that are going to be there when their loved one is, for whatever reason, doesn't have the mental capabilities to make decisions for themselves when it comes to treatment. So we need to understand and educate ourselves if we ever. Because we always think it's not going to happen to us. So really, heroic advocates is what we need today. Look, these are all case-by-case situations.
Right.
We can't just paint a broad brush and say it's this way all the time. I mean, we get cases where people think that they're being inappropriately treated, and sometimes it sounds like the hospital is doing the right thing. So
right.
it just depends on the situation, and we just have to understand the healthcare system and what is available to us, and we should question doctors if we think that something happening doesn't sound right, or if there's other treatment options that are available.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hesitant to question the doctors.
There's nothing wrong with that, Gary. We can.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything improper about questioning doctors and asking questions and making sure that what's happening and consulting with someone you trust, a good priest, a solid priest, a traditional priest that understands the situations and understands the church teachings when it comes to certain healthcare circumstances.
You know, Bobby, I'm so glad you brought that up because several years ago, my wife's mother was dying from leukemia, and it got to the point where there was a situation where I can't think of the name of the whoever the nursing service that came to take care of her, the hospice care, that's what I'm looking for. They were saying, okay, she's dying now, and basically there's nothing else we can do. And they were hinting at removing food and water, okay? And I panicked, and my wife panicked, and I talked to my pastor. And to get the church's position on that. And, you know, it ended up working out okay, but we got a lot of opposition. A lot of people were saying, are you people crazy? But I said, how do we know she's dying? I basically asked that question, and they didn't have an answer for me. So I was really uncomfortable. Do you think sometimes the medical profession oversteps their boundaries and makes projections that they really don't have a right to project?
Well, absolutely, Gary. We see it all the time. And sometimes it is black and white, but sometimes there is gray involved in these situations because they can be so different. But there's organizations like the NCBC, the National Catholic Bioethics Center, that's there for questions when it comes down to these uncertain circumstances, when mm-hmm. it comes to, sometimes we get questions that we just can't answer the ethics of it and whether it's appropriate or not. Because there's so many details and the situations, as I keep saying, are different. So those types of organizations that understand the ethics of the Catholic healthcare when families do have questions about what's right and what's wrong or appropriate or inappropriate type of care.
Bobby, I really do thank you for the work that you do. I thank you for, I know you're very busy, but you make time for us on a regular basis. If somebody's out there listening, maybe in this they might be in this situation, could they reach out to you and contact you for advice?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're there for. We have a crisis lifeline that we established, and all you have to do is go to lifeandhope.com. It's right there as soon as you go to the webpage, and all the information is there. We have an 800. It's 855-300-4673. It's HOPE, so it's 855-300-HOPE. And please reach out to us, and we'll try to help you any way we can if you need our help.
You are awesome, my friend. Thanks for doing what you do. I'll put a link to your information at spiritinthemorning.com. Bobby, again, thank you for making the time for us, and we'll keep you in our prayers. Keep up the good work, brother.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Thanks for what you're doing, and I really appreciate having me again today. God bless you.
God bless you, too, my friend. Dave Parker,
God bless you, Bobby.
I'm just digesting some of what he said.
Wow, that was so rich. And good information, but yeah, great conversation.
When we come back, Art Bennett is going to talk about his new book, Tuned In. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Republicans are pushing their massive tax bill through the House, with President Donald Trump urging them on to a critically needed legislative victory and GOP House leaders exuding confidence that they do have the votes. But the tax overhaul hit a roadblock yesterday as Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin became the first Republican senator to say he opposes his party's legislation as is. That signaled potential problems for GOP leaders. The U.S. Embassy is advising citizens in Zimbabwe to limit unnecessary movements as the country's political uncertainty continues. The British government is also urging its citizens in the capital, Harare, to avoid large gatherings and any demonstrations. The military remains in the streets of the capital. The U.K. Catholic Herald reports that church leaders in Zimbabwe have called for calm. The U.S. bishops have reportedly chosen their four delegates to next year's Synod of Bishops, which will focus on young people, the faith, and vocational discernment. Multiple sources tell the Catholic News Agency that the bishops have chosen USCCB President Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez, Los Angeles Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron, and Philadelphia Archbishop Charles Chaput. The U.S. Bishops Conference has not confirmed that list. And Pope Francis will be selling his new Lamborghini to help Christians in the Middle East. Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need reports that the Holy Father received the sports car as a gift, which he has blessed and autographed. It will be auctioned by Sotheby's, and the money will go to helping rebuild Christian communities on the Nineveh Plains that have been destroyed by the Islamic State. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are, or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
I love the way you hold me. I love the way you hold me. I love the way you hold me. I love the way you.
I've had a long day, I just wanna relax. Don't have time for my friends, no time to chit chat. Problems at my job, wondering what to do. I know I should be working, but I'm thinking of you. And just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when your smile comes around. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less, Lord. I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Well, you took my day and you flipped it around. Calmed the tidal wave and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less, Lord. I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. For all you've done, wish I could tell you in a short story or poem. But all I have is my voice and this guitar, and you have my heart. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. You'll always be, you take each and the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you make each and every day oh so special. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less, Lord. I love the way you hold me. Oh, 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 oh. I love the way you hold me. Whoa.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Hold Me by Jamie Grace featuring Toby Mac. I'm Gary Zimak, and the time right now is 7:35. Listening. It's sometimes, I think personally, a lost art. We don't know or we don't care to listen to what other people have to say. We struggle with this all the time. Well, my next guest is the author of the new book from our Sunday visitor. The book is called Tuned In, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening by Art and Lorraine Bennett. Art Bennett joins us now to talk about how important it is to listen to one another. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program. I love the topic. I love the topic. It's such an important thing. Art, what's the motivation for writing this book?
Well, my wife and I enjoy reading and writing and things, and I was reading something by Benedict the 16th, and,
right.
and he tends to bring things very strong, but someplace he said, you know, the most important thing is listening. And I remember I said to Lorraine, I said, by the way, Pope Benedict says the most important thing is listening. We got to take a look at this. We started talking about that, talking about listening in our marriage, started doing some reading. So that was really the motivation, was to try to write about the most important thing.
yeah. And I agree. And I like the way the book is laid out. Now, you mentioned you. There's various chapters, listening to others, listening to your heart, listening to criticism. We're going to skip that one because I don't like that one. But let's talk about this. I mean, if we're in a conversation with somebody, and it could be something pertaining to our Catholic faith, it could be to speaking to a non-Catholic, speaking to a Catholic, a lot of times disagreements arise, and we, in our minds, have this idea, well, this person is wrong, their opinion is wrong, why should I listen to them? And why should we?
Yeah, well, this is a very common thing. Well, we should listen to other people because, really, and our faith really teaches us this, because people are really where it's at, because that's where we find the face of God. So if we only decide to listen to people who agree with us, if we only decide to communicate with people who agree with us, then we're kind of replicating what we see on a lot of the television, radio shows,
yeah.
not yours, of course,
oh,
which is
you.
Just this constant debate of if you're on my side or you're not. And so what's happening is we're kind of editing out a lot of valuable information, but not just information. It's more really acknowledging people as people. And that's what you do when a person talks. You listen to them. And you may not agree. You might not see it exactly there. But the bigger picture, the most important thing that comes across the transom really is, this is another person sitting next to me trying to enrich my life. And I want to establish that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pope Francis talks a lot about encounters, and we can get stuck in transactions, even with our spouse, even with our colleagues and with our children. So what it is this, that we, the pause notion here is stop, let's really listen, not just think about the repartee or the better argument than the person across from you, but really acknowledge, there's a person talking to me, I need to give them my full attention, and I can grow and learn that way.
I think sometimes we have a tendency, and I have to admit I do this, when we're in a conversation with somebody, we are already thinking of what we're about to say, and we're not even listening to what they're saying before, right? I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think part of that is, you know, the person takes a breath, so I'm going to jump in here and say my piece. So some of it's an insecurity we have, that we have to be liked, we have to be considered smart, we have to win the argument. I think what happens when you kind of really listen and accuse the other person, it gets the rhythm of it more. Okay, let me see if I got what you said, and then the other person will listen in kind. So it's really trying to understand. So the purpose of talking isn't just to win an argument. It's really to understand the other person. Not even the other person's idea, the other person. Wow, so that's how you see this? Or you mean, when I came home late the other day, you weren't just disappointed. You're really, really angry? Really? Wow, okay, wow. I better, because the difference between your spouse being disappointed and being angry is a big difference, and if you're not listening, you might miss that, and then you can't really address it. So it's hitting the pause button and say, well, what's really going on here? What's really in your heart and mind? And we want to go heart to heart with people, at least on occasion, and get away from this transactional touch, move on, argue, move on kind of thing.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the show, I read something from your book. Was a quote by Pope Francis, and he said, instead of offering an opinion or advice, we need to be sure we have heard everything the other person has to say. Wow, what a great message. And I find, and Art, tell me what your take on this is, that even if I am in a discussion with somebody and I feel that
I don't understand there. We think we're on opposite sides of a topic. Sometimes when I listen, I realize that we're closer than I thought we were.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That's really right, and that's a product of listening and deeper listening. Is you find, rather than getting the repartee, you're looking for the common ground. You're looking for the common ground. So, get the example of me coming home late. It would be okay. I can see you're a little. I can see you're upset. I said I'd be home at 6:20.
Yeah.
But wow, you're actually really mad. What's going on? Well, you know, you've done this so many times. You make promises you don't keep. Mm. You keep complaining about the traffic. Da da da. If it was just, yeah, I'm a little disappointed. No big deal. A peck on the cheek. I'm sorry, baby. I'll do better next time would work. But if she's really angry,
yeah.
Then you got to roll up your sleeves. And so you really know what you got going here. You really know what's on her mind. And then, of course, ideally, you can solve it, and both people are better. But that's a product of listening. It's hard not to be defensive, particularly when you're being criticized or attacked. It takes a lot of self-discipline.
Oh, exactly.
And it's something we have to all work on a lot. But ideally, the first business is, I want to understand what you're saying, and then after I've understood it, now let me give you my take, and then we go back and forth in a more respectful way. Yeah.
As you're saying that, I realize I need a lot of work in that area. Well, I really do, because I go into defensive mode, especially with my wife.
We all do, I think. But that's a cool thing. I think this is why Benedict highlighted this so much, and you're right. Pope Francis talks about, the apostolate of the ear and listening and that kind of thing. It really can transform us when we let the information from another person made in the image and likeness of God enter into us, even if we don't agree. And
exactly.
That's the other thing I think we have to overcome. I can't just restrict my conversations to people that agree with me.
Wow.
My life will be too limited. My experiences will be too narrow. I won't grow enough. Just as when we go to Mass, we hear the gospel and we go, oh, wow, the gospel is really pushing me to get outside of myself, or really pushing me to forgive people. Wow. Well, we got to listen to that. We got to let it into our hearts. So I think it's treating people as if they, just because they are alive and encountering us, have something to really enrich my life. Not all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's knucklehead ideas. I don't want to be quixotic or naive about this. But let me listen first and then say, okay, well, you mind if I give my take on that? Because I really hurt. So it's deepening our lives. Again, it's trying to get out of this transactional mode we're in, perhaps aggravated by cell phone. Sometimes I sit across from my wife and I'm not even talking, listen to her. I'm reading a tweet from somebody.
Isn't that true?
And that's just, it's impolite.
but we all fall into that from time to time.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're talking about that. Now, you also mentioned in the book that a hardened heart will not be able to listen well, neither to God nor to others. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is one of the things that Pope Francis really highlights. When he talks about encounter, he's talking about trying to get heart to heart.
Yeah.
Heart to heart. Now, if we exclude those kind of conversations and relationships, then what happens is that our heart gets hardened. And the metaphor we use is Pharaoh with Moses, because God talks, the gospel, the Bible talks a lot about that. What happened is his heart got so hardened, and then God kept pounding him harder, but still he got harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the risk we have as well. If we don't have, let's say, relationships and dialogues which soften our heart to the other, then our heart will get hardened, and our meaning in our lives and we'll be more crass and more discouraged and have less meaning in our lives. So one of the benefits of listening, again, even if the person talking to you disagree with, is that you're letting them into your heart. Say, oh, okay, so you were really mad at me.
Mm.
I mean, oh my God. Okay, let's sit down, babe. I want to get to the bottom of this so I don't do it again. So if you didn't listen, if you just kind of took it half hearted because you're so busy and mm-hmm. that, so you miss. So what happens? What we're trying to do always, we're trying to soften our hearts. I mean, as the Great Commandment says, so we can give these hearts to God, but we have to soften them. Listening softens our hearts, as opposed to just saying, "Well, if that person's wrong, she's a knucklehead."
Yeah.
Why are you thinking this? So our hearts are softened. It doesn't mean our minds are softened. We don't become stupid or something. It's just that, oh my, that's what's going on with that person. Oh my goodness.
Art, would you recommend that we pray for that? Our hearts to be softened.
I would recommend that
because I can't do it by myself. That's what I realized, that I am somebody who is a black and white person by nature. I look at a topic and I say, this is right, this is wrong, and it's not easy for me to soften my heart. And I think only God can help me with that.
I think you're right, but people. listen to your show because you have great opinions and great ideas. So just be clear, listening more doesn't mean we stop commenting on the world or stop having strong belief. It just means before I do, I just want to let what this person said, I want to absorb it a little bit, give them the respect they're due, no matter who they are, what they are, and then I'm going to say, all right, let's really figure out a way for me not to be late on dinner on Wednesday nights, because I don't want you so upset, babe. So maybe now we can start problem. See, now we can start problem solving because we know what the problem is. So it doesn't mean that you just kind of be passive. We're not promoting quietism here or any other heresy. It's just like Pope Benedict says, it's the most important thing. Then once you do that, once you hear the other person, then the world is open to all sorts of responses. Yeah.
Right. The book is Tuned In, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening by Art and Lorraine Bennett. Art, we're just about out of time. I need to... this is such a good book. Is there any chance we can get you back on the show to talk about
anytime,
it a little
Gary,
more?
Oh, anytime, Gary. Yeah, great respect for the work you do, and I'd love to be on the show. I'll keep you in prayer. You keep me in prayer, as you said.
You bet. Now, where's the best place to pick up the book or maybe find out more about the work that you and your wife do?
We're all over Amazon, this and our other five or six books, and of course, our Sunday Visitor, if you go there directly, too. Thank you, Gary. God bless you, buddy.
God bless you, too. I'm going to put a link on spiritinthemorning.com. Dave Parker.
Wow. I'm listening.
He took me to school.
Me too. Oh, man.
Thanks,
Art.
When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When Nazi soldiers wanted to search two locked wards in Rome's Fata Bene Fratelli hospital, doctors told them, "You can't go in there. Those patients have K disease. It will kill you to get anywhere near them." Now, in reality, K disease was an invention. The patients in the locked wards were actually Jewish families, whom the doctors and staff kept safe from the Nazis until the war was over. For this courageous action, the hospital was recently honored by the Raoul Wallenberg Foundation with a plaque that's now displayed in the hospital courtyard. It reads, "This place was a beacon of light in the darkness of the Holocaust. It is our moral duty to remember these great heroes for new generations to recognize and appreciate them." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Stand on my strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Josh Groban with You Raise Me Up. The time right now is 7:53. Today we're going to take a look at Be Not Afraid Bible verse from the Gospel of Matthew. But he did not answer her a word. This is Matthew 15:23. I think it's very interesting. This is the Canaanite woman who asked Jesus to heal her daughter. His first response was to say nothing. We talk about listening. One of the hardest things, and you can imagine this, you kneel before Jesus. You ask him for a favor. Please heal my daughter. And he doesn't respond. Dave, can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
You know, like if you asked me something and I just looked at you and didn't answer. Sometimes when we ask the Lord for something, his initial response is silence.
Exactly.
But what did she do? She kept asking. And eventually he healed her daughter. Oftentimes, and I want to get into this, we'll have Art Bennett on, we'll talk about this again because he talks about this in the book. Sometimes God's response to our prayers is silence. It doesn't mean he's saying no.
Exactly.
Oftentimes, he wants us to trust him. Very hard, Frank. Right? He's not answering.
Silence.
Right? It's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable, exactly. And, you know, and it, you know, it's the type of thing that, you know, especially like that type of story, you know, where it's a, you know, someone who, you know, it's a daughter, it's a, you know, you want that response. It's a, you need that response. And that silence is extremely uncomfortable.
And it just made me think of what we were talking about with Art. And our first segment before Art came on was, I'm looking right at you, and I asked you a question. And especially today, it's so, pronounced or so hyper. Like, why didn't you answer me? I'm asking, hello, I'm talking to
you. And we want it immediate.
We want it immediate,
And so much more I guess, exaggerated today or whatever. But, it's hyper. Yeah. It's in a hyper mode today.
That is correct. But part of the reason we're in a hyper mode is, and it came up in the last interview, is we also tend to go into our groups. Yeah. You know, and so, like, you know, when we're, you know, listening to something, you know, we only listen to people that say the same thing we say.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I talk to people. There's a lot of people, and we all know this, where maybe they don't like Pope Francis, and they're very Catholic in what they do, and that's their view. And you talk to them, and they're yes, but here's the blogs I pay attention to, and it's all blogs that say their same view. Yeah. How do we broaden that? How do we get to this deeper sense? And it's hard, because then it may be uncomfortable, because it may be saying, mm-hmm. You're wrong.
Well, it made me think of, you know, an old adage, birds of a feather flock together. I mean, in this context, I mean, they think, you know, these Catholics, there are other Catholics that this is the only way. It's a very narrow, you know, path, and it's not true.
So yesterday, you missed, we did a little tribute to Bill Miller, and yes. I know you were really good friends with Bill.
Yeah,
and,
I was.
You know, you've been around him quite a bit.
I still
often.
Am. Yeah. Yeah, it goes on beyond this corporal life.
Exactly. And so one of the things I did want our audience to know is the visitation is next Tuesday.
Okay.
And then Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then the funeral service is at Assumption BBM next Wednesday at 11.
Yes.
So,
yeah, thank you.
Well,
I was going to say, I did listen to the show yesterday, but I had some other commitments. But it harkened back to that show that you guys mentioned, you know, when he was here sitting in this very studio. And there, you know, he's a warrior. He's a pro-life, iconic warrior to me and others. But he was so humble, and he had a sense of humor.
He did.
You know, and sometimes he would even say, like, I mean, he was so on point with this, he would evangelize everyone. And maybe to the point of, like, and he would even say, and I'm paraphrasing, well, like, I'm like a thorn in their side, but right. but he's doing God's right. work.
But he would joke about that,
yes.
and
yes.
you know, and he did it in a way that, you know, was loving, and you know, he recognized that, you know, maybe there's other ways to do it too, and that was recognizing his own aspects. But you know what? He was doing it because he was good at it, and that's
exactly.
And we have to respect that. You know, there's people that you may not, you know, agree with, like, whatever, because their style. But you know what? If they're doing it for good, and everything he ever did was for good from his heart.
From good and for our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord.
Yes,
he
absolutely.
Loved the Lord. So thank you for letting me say.
No,
God bless you, Bill, and you're missed.
As I said, I met Bill one time in the studio. He changed my life, and you know, he had that ability to help us all realize that
absolutely
the pro-life movement is incredibly important. So we honor Bill by carrying on his work.
Exactly.
Right? And we are called to do something with that. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about humility. Ooh, that's going to be a tough topic.
Wait. We're
you just had listening, and now you're going to humility?
I know.
Listening and humility.
Hey, I'm humbled every day when I come in here and try to do this show. The Lord reminds me, you ain't that good, kid. All right, tomorrow. Right. And then if God doesn't do it, Frank Eliason takes care of that.
Yeah, really.
The book is Humility
Frank
Rules.
Was so much Frank was speechless.
This is pretty pathetic when I'm doing Frank's insults for him.
Yeah, really. Yeah, hey. No words.
The book tomorrow is Humility Rules, St. Benedict's 12-Step Guide to Genuine Self-Esteem by Father Augustine Weta. He's going to be on the show. We'll talk about that. Thanks for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating